George Bonga was a black Indian fur trader who walked multiple worlds, spoke several languages, and came from an ethnically diverse background. He was essential to many facets of our state's history, though a lot of people haven't heard much about him. Barry Babcock is a northern Minnesota man who knows more than most about George Bonga. He's written a book that will be published later this year, and he'll be talking about George at the Bemidji Public Library Monday night. Barry's with us right now. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning.
Well, I'll just lay it out there. Tell us about George Bonga.
Well, I have always been an avid paddler, especially in the backcountry here, and visiting the Boundary Waters, Quetico, places like that. And I started out doing this sort of thing back when I was in high school, and my interest was developing to include the plant and animal communities, geology, and then it gravitated to the human history, which meant the fur trade. And I would read everything I could get my hands on, and I kept coming across this name, Bonga, here and there, and it was maybe no more than a few sentences, just mention of them. And basically, it was just their incredible physical strength. So I started researching them, and I ended up making a lot of trips down to the Minnesota Historical Society, and I made a couple of attempts at a books in the past, but they just didn't resonate. And I got some encouragement and help from the late Robert Troyer, and I got lucky, and I met some people that shared oral history with me, Native people from Fond du Lac, White Earth. And so I've got the book done. It's with the publisher. He's working on it right now. Hopefully it'll be out by early summer. But the book gravitated to more than just George, because as I was researching the Bongas, the whole entire family from the three generations, from Jean, the slave who arrived here in the Western Hemisphere probably in the mid-1750s, the 60s, and then his family, he was manumitted along with his family, his wife, two daughters, and a son in the 1780s, and his son was Pierre, who went into the fur trade. And it was Pierre who married an Ojibwe woman from Fond du Lac, and they had five kids, George, Stephen, and Jack, and two girls, Elizabeth and Marguerite. And my research found that the stories of all these individuals, Jean, Pierre, and his five children, were all so compelling. So the book now is broken into chapters. I deal with Jean first. And I found out through research that he originated in the Congo. There's a sub-tribe there by the name of Bonga, B-O-N-G-A. So that's all he had left, all he had to bring with him to North America was the name of his people, Bonga. In fact, I've heard, too, a lot of Native people referred to, there's different spellings, variations, and Bongo from the Congo was a phrase that I'd often hear, and I never really resonated with me until I found out that that's where they're from. Huh. And then Jean, Jean was worked for, I believe he was not a field worker, but a servant as a slave for a Frenchman in the West Indies. And he ended up being dropped off on the mainland, and he made his way up the Mississippi River and ended at Mackinac, where he got his freedom. But the stories of the Bongas, all of them are so compelling, and they're so intertwined with early Minnesota history and the impact that they had on our early history. For instance, the first murder trial held in what was to become Minnesota 12 years before it became a territory and 22 years before it became a state. George Bonga just isn't just a role player, and he's a central character not only in the capture of the murderer, but the subsequent trial. And in nearly every treaty that was made with both the Ojibwe and the Dakota, Bonga served as an interpreter.
Because he knew several languages?
In fact, even Stephen, George's older brother, I know he could speak fluent French, English, Ojibwe, and also Dakota, as he served as an interpreter for several treaties made between the whites and the Dakota. And actually, too, there's a chapter in my book, I think, is going to rock Minnesota history a little bit. Well, maybe more than just a little bit. My research in oral history that I've obtained, I have a good friend by the name of Juanita Blackhawk. She's an enrolled band member in White Earth, and she's a direct descendant of Marguerite Bonga and Jacob Fallstrom. And I think she told me they're their great-great-great-grandparents, but she's a direct descendant. And the whole story of the headwaters of the Mississippi and the exploration is going to be, I'm opening up a box here that a lot of people probably aren't aware of, the role, the close role, hands-on role that the Bongas had in the discovery of the Mississippi, even long before Schoolcraft. But it's really a story, I think, that is best about America and best about being an American, about how a black person made his way into northern Minnesota in the late 1700s, and as one historian wrote, found this safe abode in the wilderness where all things are free. Were not only able to make their life successors, but had great impact and were highly respected. They were famous people at one time, and their story has dropped through the cracks of history, whether this has to do with racism or whatever, but I'm hoping that I can put them back into their proper place in history with this book.
Yeah.
Because they're compelling stories and they're inspiring stories about freedom and their relation to the land and wilderness here, where they were judged on a same level as anybody else by the content of their character. And it's just something to me that epitomizes what the United States should be about. And the fact, too, that there's not a drop of white blood in them. After Pierre married an Ojibwe woman, they were half black and half Indian, yet George would often surprise listeners. For instance, Supreme Court Judge Charles Flandreau visited him at his home on Leech Lake in the 1850s and wrote that he was stunned when they first met George. George told him, "Gentlemen, let me assure you that John Banfield and I were the first two white men to settle this country." And Flandreau describes that his skin was so black that it fairly glistened. So they were all very intelligent people, very capable people, and people who had whose fingerprints are all over early Minnesota history.
So strange that like you said, they did just slip through the cracks. And
yeah, during their lives, they were front page news. Even when George died, a memorial was brought up in the Capitol, Washington, D.C. It was printed in the New York Times, the Chicago Tribune, and the St. Paul Pioneer Press. He died in 1880. And so, I mean, they were, even George got involved as a important person in trying to remedy the corruption with Indian agents throughout the land. And even when the white timber barons were stealing timber off the Leech Lake Reservation, he sent out warnings about this and alerted Reverend Whipple, who brought the government in, and these lands were protected. In fact, corrupt agents were trying to sell timber off the reservation at far below market prices without getting the okay from band members, and George stepped in and alerted the government to it. In fact, one letter I came across that was sent to authorities in Minnesota by the Secretary of the Interior, a man by the name of Commissioner Delano, said that make sure George Bonga sees this letter. That's all highly regarded he was in Washington, D.C. during those years, and that those big pines that George Bonga was directly or indirectly responsible for saving became the front of the first big environmental battle ended up in the formation of Chippewa National Forest. If it hadn't been for George, those pines wouldn't have been protected there for people to come along and fight and save them and put them in the national forest. But so they really had an impact on our Minnesota history, and I hope this book is read and people can realize how important they were to our state.
So when you were gathering information, it sounds like you were at the Minnesota Historical Society, and then kind of word of mouth. How were you gathering all the information for this?
Well, I was just real lucky to be, when I calling around, being put in contact with several ladies over in the Fond du Lac area, Carol Jackla, who's an enrolled band member, and Christine Carlson, who's a native of Fond du Lac, who's written in great length the history of that area, and they provided me with a lot of information about Stefan Bonga that I didn't have before, and it made me realize the importance of his role in our history also. And then being coming into contact and meeting Juanita Blackhawk from White Earth, the direct descendant of Marguerite and Jacob Fallstrom, whom I dedicate one chapter of the book to, because it's so important bringing out the truth of the people that were really intimately entwined with the discovery of the headwaters as the true source of the Mississippi, and how some of our history I question, and I think that these people need to be put in their proper place, because these people weren't people coming from Michigan or New York to make a name as explorers. They lived here, made a living here, and they cared about the land. And I think that was kind of a universal theme with the Bongas, is not only their decency as human beings, but their care for the land and the people that lived here and the culture that dominated northern Minnesota, the Anishinaabe culture.
Right. So what do you hope people take away? This could change a lot of things.
Well, yeah, it could. And I think these are just, so much of a history of us white people. You know, it's the Daniel Boone, Davy Crockett. Well, here's pioneers in this state that didn't fight Indians. They were Native Americans. And they also had black blood in them. And they played such an important role. And they were people, they decent people. You know, everything they did, they took the high road. So I hope this people bring... hope the message that people get about this is that this is a story that would make us proud of the Bongas, and that they make us proud, can make us proud to be Americans, and what America should be all about, welcoming people of different colors and races, and that that makes us great as a diversity of all the cultures that we have and all the different races that make up this country. And I think that's kind of what's at the core of the story of the Bongas.
Oh, so exciting. Well, I'm looking forward to the book and also to your talk on Monday night. That's Barry Babcock. You can attend Barry's talk Monday night, March 4th, 6 p.m. at the Bemidji Public Library. Anything last minute to add, Barry?
No, other than thanks for giving me this time to talk about the Bongas.
Well, I'm so excited to learn more about them. Thank you for all the effort you've put into the book.
You're welcome. Miigwech.
Miigwech.
Yep.
Area Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the people of Minnesota.